That was for the people on the internet, because I had my microphone turned off. I can project in this building, but not all the way to Washington or whatever. All right, let's begin by praying this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your good gifts. Everything you give us is good. We thank you for the greatest gift you ever gave us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We also thank you, Father, for the body of Christ. We thank you for gathering us here this morning. We thank you, Father, for the blessings we enjoy in this country in particular. Help us never to take any of our gifts that you've given us for granted. We ask this morning also, Father, for the Holy Spirit. Guide and direct every one of us in our hearts and in our thinking. We want to also pray, Father, for the persecuted church. I'd like to pray also, Father, for unbelievers, that they may hear the gospel accurately. And I want to pray for everybody in our congregation. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand and sing our congregation song. I printed out the announcements in the lineup, and then I forgot it at home. Luckily, through technology, I have it on my phone. Yes. And I have some of the slides, too. Announcements this morning. Rich Freeman, Chosen People Ministries. That's a ministry that witnesses to the Jewish people in our country and around the world. He is coming on Sunday, December 8th. I asked him to help to train us in the area of Jewish evangelism, which we all need, especially, you know, in our part of the world, we have a lot of Jewish people. Okay, so look forward to that. Because it's almost Christmas time, December 8th, he's going to present The Road to Bethlehem. The Road to Bethlehem from a Jewish perspective. By the way, once again this year, we are going to support GBC Pakistan's Christmas care packages. We try to do that every year. They raise money for their young people, their students that get gifts as well as families. So we keep that in prayer. And if you would like to give a donation, we ask that you give it directly to them now. Very straightforward. That's their web address. By the way, we're going to put a link up on our website, so this is easy. You don't have to necessarily copy it down, especially if you're putting it on your phone and you have big feet. I'm always misspelling it. Anyway, www.gbcpakistan.org/donations. When you go to that website, you'll find different ways of being able to send a gift, but you know, by mail, by PayPal, and so forth. So that's up to you. All right. I want to give a kudos out to Mark Pomeroy this morning. He led us in an excellent Bible study last Sunday on the book of Titus. I'm hoping he comes back for more because he's got a lot prepared. And I want to just thank you and look forward to hearing from you again. Finally, next Sunday is the Lord's Supper. Okay, it's November. It's actually the weekend where we are turning our clocks back, falling back too. So always try to announce that if I remember, right? But you know, this before, because we don't always remember. Although fall back is actually better than spring forward because you get an extra hour rather than lose an hour. And the weather is getting better. Matter of fact, if my hair is a little unkempt, it's because I rolled down my windows and let the breeze flow through my hair this morning on the way here. So, all right, in any event, enough foolishness. Title of today's message is The Manifestation of the Spirit. The Manifestation of the Spirit. That comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, which we'll be spending quite a bit of time on this morning. In fact, you want to turn there, that's going to be our first passage also. The manifestation of the Spirit. We're talking about spiritual gifts. We're learning about spiritual gifts. We're learning about the characteristics of spiritual gifts. We've seen that spiritual gifts are the Lord's secret weapon, as it is, for preserving the unity of the body of Christ. He's done a lot of things to do that. The Holy Spirit has established unity in the way that he's baptized us all into the person of Christ and given us all spiritual gifts. Okay, that's all for the preserving of the body of Christ. The gifts provide power, spiritual power, that enable us to serve one another, particularly in the area that we've been gifted. whether it be helps or service or a communication gift or giving. They're all designed first and foremost to build up and edify the body of Christ, or and actually the local congregation, first and foremost. Last Sunday, we saw that there are a great variety. That was the word of the week, variety. We saw that in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 6, where we saw a great variety of gifts, the gifts themselves, a great variety of ministries, a great variety of effects. No believer is a carbon copy of another when it comes to spiritual gifts. I was thinking this morning about, with Thanksgiving coming up, I was thinking about, okay, so you have the gift and the calling to bring, a dessert for Thanksgiving meal, okay? That's a gift. Well, at the same time, you can give, apple pie or pecan pie or pumpkin pie. So even with individual gifts, there's variety. There's a variety of ministries, which means that's the place that Jesus Christ has picked for you to exercise your gift. And a variety, remember, of effects. That God the Father is the one who's going to produce the results through us. Now, at the same time there's variety, as we also saw, there's also great unity in these gifts. There's one body that all these gifts are for. There's one Spirit who's given us all the gifts. There's one Lord Jesus Christ who superintends. He's the head of the body. One God the Father who's going to produce the results, the effects. And finally, we saw that they're both, they need each other. The variety and the unity go together. All right. So it doesn't make a lot of sense to have variety if there's no unity. There's variety, but everybody's going in their own direction. We don't have no common purpose. Okay. At the same time, if you have unity but no variety, it's not really unity. It's unanimity, right? But it's not unity. It's what's great about our country, by the way. We have great variety, but at least in design, we have great unity, right? Great unity. We're not forcing everybody into the same box. Not unanimity, okay, but unity. I pray for that for our country as we move towards the elections. Which, by the way, I do encourage you to vote. It is your right as a citizen. I do not tell you who to vote for because it's none of my business. At the same time, I am praying that we make the right choice for this country. It's pretty important.
Don't forget your
ID. At least in Florida, right? Oh, man, I could go off on that, but I'm not going to do that. All right, now we're ready for our passage, 1 Corinthians 12, 7. 1 Corinthians 12, 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Again, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. This is a very, very significant verse. This one verse gives three of the most important elements of a spiritual gift. Each one, we're going to look at that. Each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Okay, three important aspects, elements, characteristics of spiritual gifts. Each one, that's a characteristic. The manifestation of the Spirit, that's another characteristic. And then for the common good, that's a third one. All right, so let's begin by looking at the first part of verse 7. But to each one. But to each one. What does this mean? It means that each one is given, as it says, the manifestation of the Spirit. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit gave you a spiritual gift at the moment you first believed. Let me say that again. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit gave you a spiritual gift at the moment you first believed. In other words, it had nothing to do with you. It isn't like you had to progress to a certain point in your spiritual life before you received a spiritual gift. Okay, we don't earn it. We don't deserve it. It's freely given. By the way, that's called grace. Freely given by the Father. In this case, by the Holy Spirit. Each one. So again, each and every church-age believer gets one spiritual gift. Each and every one of us. is given one spiritual gift. We're all in this together. We're all members of one body. It's important for the believer to understand this. It's so important that in the New Testament, we see this statement included three other times in the passages that describe spiritual gifts. Look at verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 12. Look at verse 11. But one and the same Spirit, by the way, there's that unity, for all of us, one and the same Spirit, works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. Each one individually. God, the Holy Spirit, has distributed a spiritual gift to each one of us individually. Individually picked out for every one of us. We don't get the same one. Sometimes that's an issue for people. They kind of covet somebody else's gift. They look at their own gift as unimportant. At the end this morning, I'm going to ask the question for you, so what, right? So what about all the things we're learning? Well, and I'm going to show you at that time an illustration, a description. I suppose you could say a parable of the gifts, and you'll see how important each one, each gift is in this illustration. And then again in Ephesians 4, 7 on the board, but to each one of us, there it is again, each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. You know, when you see things repeated in the Word of God, that's significant. And, as a matter of fact, it's seldom that something critical and vital is ever said just once in the Bible. It's repeated. So we can ask the question, why is this each one repeated? And the answer is that there's so much, what's the word I'm looking for? There's so much attention given, and there are many people who believe that some people are given spiritual gifts, but not others. Some people are given them and not others. There are whole denominations that base it on that they're saying that you have to, again, you have to tarry in order to get your gift. I'm not sure what that word is. I think it is sit in a corner and pray or something like that. All right, then you'll give your gift. You have to get to a certain level of spiritual growth. Then you'll get your gift. Okay, but that can't be true if each one of us, by grace, is given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And then another time, look at 1 Peter 4:10. Look at 1 Peter 4:10. We see it again. We see it again. Remember, there are four major passages on the teaching on the subject of spiritual gifts. Okay, we just looked at two of them, 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4. And now another one, 1 Peter 4:10. Once again, that phrase, as each one has received a special gift. No gift is unimportant. Each one of us has received a special gift. You have received a special gift. It was picked out for you individually by God the Holy Spirit. That makes it special. Paul talks about the body, the human body, and points out that there is no part of the human body that's unimportant. As a matter of fact, the rest of the body depends on that one part of the body, on each and every one. And in the same way, we as a congregation depend on each and every spiritual gift that God the Holy Spirit has distributed to each one of us. We all depend on that. We all depend on that. If we didn't have people with exercising now, not just having it, but exercising, giving, say the gift of helps. Okay, and it may or may not be your gift, but it is somebody's. If that person or people are not exercising that, all of us suffer. Right? There are some methods of helps where directed just to me to be able to get up here and preach, for example. Like I've got water every Sunday, right? Somebody had to put that there. I have my sound all set up. I have my slides all set up. I didn't do that. Somebody else did. They were serving in that respect. What if they didn't? What if I came here every Sunday and I don't have water and I'm up here coughing after about 7 minutes? Would that be a pleasant experience for the body? Of course not. Same thing with the slides. If somebody who is called to do that doesn't do it. Now, there's more than one, perhaps, but if none of them do it, then I'm here, and my teaching to you is really less than it ought to be. So every gift is important. If we have members of the body hurting, and somebody has the gift of mercy or the gift of encouragement, that's crucial. Not only for the person to whom that mercy is given, but for all of us. For all of us. They represent us in that particular ministry. If they're not doing it, all of us are affected by that. Okay, so that's why it's repeated. Each one is given a special gift. Notice why, okay? Employ it in serving one another. Each one of us is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, to serve one another, right? Not only I, but also others. Okay. Each one of us. One another. Each one has received a special gift. Employ it. That means use it. Use it. Your gift is not gonna glorify God unless you use it. Okay? Serving one another as good stewards of the many faceted grace of God. We're all stewards of the grace of God. It means that we've been given something to protect and make the most use of. Okay, we're steward it. Okay, back in 1 Corinthians 12:7, let's continue now in our passage this morning. Again, a very important passage. In fact, if you're the kind of person that likes simplicity, likes summaries, if there's one verse that you should memorize, if you like that, or go back to again and again to refresh your understanding of the characteristics of spiritual gifts, I think this one would be a really good one. 1 Corinthians 12:7. But to each one he is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. But to some of the people are given a certain manifestation, don't know why, for their own benefit and glorification. No, but let's be honest, that's how some people approach it. Look, I've been gifted and you haven't, right? A manifestation of the Spirit, that's important. It means that God, the Holy Spirit, working through us. It's not us and asking for help once in a while. It's God, the Holy Spirit, working through us in the manifestation that he has provided, the vehicle that he has provided for us to serve one another. Common good. What's the purpose? The purpose is the good of one another, the building up of one another, the comforting of one another. And there you have it. Those are three core characteristics of spiritual gifts. So we're going to go through that. So we just finished looking at the first one, each one. Now we're going to look at the second one. The second one is that each gift is a manifestation of the Spirit. Man, this is a powerful, powerful statement, by the way. We're going to see what that word manifestation means in the Greek this morning. Okay, and it'll bring out some things that hopefully will make it clearer and more exciting to understand what this is saying. Okay, so there's manifestation, and it's not a manifestation of your own abilities. It's not a manifestation of how much you study the Word of God. Those are good things, but really this is better, much, much better. This is literally a manifestation of the Spirit. The Spirit is active. The Spirit is inside each one of us. This manifestation of the Spirit is actually something that, we'll see in a minute what that means, but it's something that brings the Spirit into our lives in a very special way. So important. Each person, notice this now, is supernaturally given, supernaturally gifted with a unique ability. Let me say that again. Each person, each individual person that I'm looking at right now this morning, those of them that are not here this morning, perhaps a better illustration, because we need their gift too, right? I don't know where they are, but they ought to be here, right? If they can, because this is where it happens. It doesn't happen when you're all alone. Praying does. But this exercise of a supernaturally given unique ability happens here. It happens here. Here and then in our lives during the week. But still, what's the whole purpose? Uniting us. Common good. And what starts to happen is that now you're concentrating more and more on the common good. What's good for the body? What's good for the congregation? And it, when you think about it in those terms, you know you can't take care of everything for each member of the congregation, can you? Right? I can't. I want to know how I'm absolutely certain I can't do it. You'll love this. Because I tried to. I tried to do it. I tried to be everything to everybody. And it turns out that I was not a lot of good to anybody when it turns out that way. Why? Because I was going beyond where the Holy Spirit has gifted me, where Jesus Christ has placed me. Sometimes I feel guilty about that. I'll be honest with you. Irish Catholic guilt runs through the pores of my body and the natural body, you know. So, but I think I've finally settled down to the point where I can have joy in the fact that I'm not doing something because somebody else is. And they're exercising their gift. They're growing closer to other people. That's the way it's supposed to work. We're a team. Not everybody can be the quarterback. Can you imagine a football team which has had 11 quarterbacks? They're not going to win many games, right? I mean, quarterbacks are great, but they're not going to be on the line blocking the defensive end, right? No, we need all the individual gifts of each one of us. Now, notice that expression, the manifestation of the Spirit. The manifestation, I want you to notice just a simple word, the. Why am I saying that? Because the means something particular and important. Okay? The manifestation of the Spirit. Each one of us is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Okay? Not all given the same ability to, as we're going to see in a moment, manifest the Spirit. But we all are given one. Okay? One spiritual gift in a ministry with the results that are predetermined by God the Father. So let's take a look now at that word manifestation in the Greek. I've been practicing how to pronounce this correctly. Because here's the thing, you know, what happens is that when I'm up here, as somebody who knows the Greek and hears me mispronounce it, they're going to be like, what an idiot, you know. So I'm trying now to do a better job with pronouncing them correctly. All right, so this word manifestation in the Greek is phanesseris. There it is, phanesseris. And it means a visible display. A visible display. Now, when you think about this, so they go through this definition. I want you to think about how this particular Greek word was also chosen by the Holy Spirit in order to express something here. And so it means a visible display. Visible display. See, now that's important because, you know, if you think your spiritual gift is just something that's inside you and you can do your own thing, okay, well, that's not visible. I mean, you may enjoy that, just like people who think they have the gifts of tongues today, right? They think that they can just do that on their own. I've heard this, where people just do it on their own, and they think they're actually exercising the spiritual gift. But they can't be, because they're not using it for the common good. There's no manifestation, public display, exhibition, appearance of the Holy Spirit. So that's the definition of phanesseros. I think that's right. This is important. The reason you may say, well, if you can't even pronounce it, why is he telling us? Well, the reason is that this particular Greek word really brings out a lot of meaning that may not be there for people if they're just looking at the English word. Okay? Visible display, that's so important. Something happens, right? I mean, when you're giving the gift of giving, okay, something happens. Maybe not everybody can see that manifestation, but certain people can. And if you can't see it, you're certainly benefited by it. Okay? An exhibition. The Holy Spirit is on exhibition when we are exercising our gift according to the ministry Jesus has given us with the effects that God the Father has chosen for us. That is an exhibition of the Spirit or an appearance of the Spirit. And you see, there's a blessing in that because so much of the spiritual life is not visible. It really is. Now, the spiritual gifts are visible. I mean, when we're learning the Word of God, when we're praying, when we're growing spiritually, right? So a lot of that is invisible. When you're developing character, which, by the way, is the base for all of this, that God is developing your character, then you'll be more effective. Now, you don't develop your character to receive the gift, but you do develop your character to be more effective, right? Be more mature, okay? But that's invisible, right? You know, the fruit of the Spirit is invisible for the most part. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. Those things are going on in your heart. Now, it is true that eventually that becomes your life, and then it does become more and more on display. Never forget, though, that it's the fruit of the Spirit and not your own fruit. Okay, so what is this saying to us? The manifestation of the Spirit, phanesseros. It means literally that the Holy Spirit is on display, visible, as it were. Now, not literally. Right? I mean, we got Halloween coming up, and I'm not saying he's a, you know, there are some denominations that call him the Holy Ghost. Yeah, well, that's not a good translation, right? But he's on display through us when we operate in our spiritual gifts, a visible display and appearance. The Holy Spirit is on display, visible, makes an appearance when believers operate in their spiritual gifts. Now, here's the thing. Notice that's plural. Every gift is individual. Every individual exercises it. But the power and the real display is when we're all exercising our gift, when the body is benefited. All right? When we're a congregation of mercy, even though not everybody has that gift, but we are, because they're operating fully in that gift on the benefit of all of us. When there's an evangelist who is a member of our congregation and is evangelizing and preaching the gospel, he represents all of us and we're all benefited. So it's when we work together in our gifts that the real power and supernatural nature of them comes out. So the Holy Spirit is on display when we operate in our spiritual gifts to serve the body of Christ according to the workings of God. God is the one who will work all things out. Let me say this more forcefully. A spiritual gift is the Spirit of God ministering to the body. Think about that. Your spiritual gift is designed to be the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, ministering to the body. All right? So in a sense, it takes a lot of the pressure off. I've said this so much. When you understand the truth about what God has done, how God is at work, what he is completing, how God, the Trinity, is active when we pray, you know, that gives you a lot of power. You don't have to generate that power. I was concerned when these hurricanes come by that I'd have to generate some power for my home if the lights went up. But when it comes to the power of spiritual gifts, I don't. I can just relax. Because it's the Spirit of God ministering to the body, using us to accomplish what it accomplished. Again, the human body is a great illustration of that. Why? Because the finger, okay, is the brain, okay, is using the thumb to accomplish something, right? So the thumb isn't all by itself, right? I mean, a little gross, but imagine if you just had a thumb and was severed, you know, how much good is that, right? Sorry to be so gross, but it is a good illustration. No, the Holy Spirit ministers to the body using us to accomplish that, not the believer doing something and asking God for help. You know how it is? It's like you get over your head in something like, I get to the point in a project where I have to use a screwdriver maybe, and I'm like, all right, now I need help. Not like that. Not like that. It's not you doing something on your own and asking God, hey, this is important. This is my ministry now. Come on, come through for me. It's another misconception that people have. They think they have to beg God to do things that he's promised to do for them. And that's just not the way it works. God, yeah, do we pray? Yeah. But we pray with the absolute confidence and assurance that God is at work, that the Holy Spirit is helping us pray, that the Lord Jesus Christ is interceding for us when we pray. It's God's work, gang, from start to finish. God gave us Jesus Christ. We didn't have to imagine him. God has set the salvation itself by grace through faith. So simple. All of God's work is simple and powerful. From the very beginning of the Bible, right? He said, let there be light. And there was light. That's our God. So now the great grace of God is that he allows us to be a part of that. Allows us, we through the gift, God the Holy Spirit works through us. It's a wonderful thing. Okay. Or another way to look at it is that the spiritual gift is the channel through which the Holy Spirit ministers to the body. Right? So if you think about it, the Holy Spirit, sometimes actually the water is used as an illustration of the Spirit. Holy Spirit is pouring through us and then nourishing the body of Christ. It's a channel through which the Holy Spirit ministers to the body. Now, because of all of that, a spiritual gift is not an end in itself. It's not a title you give to yourself. I'm okay if you don't call me pastor. A lot of people know this. That's a title. Okay, now, yeah, can I can live in it or not, but I shouldn't have the title because maybe I'm not living it. There's a lot of people who are ordained who are not living in their gift, and they use the title. Okay, so that's not the way it works. It's not an end in itself. You know, we don't say, "Wow, great! I graduated from seminary. Now I'm a pastor, and look at me, right? I can sign my name, Pastor Farley." No. It's not an end in itself. And that's true of all of our gifts. It is used by God the Holy Spirit as a channel to minister to the body of Christ. Therefore, your spiritual gift is supernatural ability. It's an ability you didn't have before you became a believer in Jesus Christ. And now you have it. And it's supernatural. It's beyond the natural understanding of men and women. To understand, how did this person get this way? You know, how did this person that was so selfish, I remember it was all about them, and all of a sudden they're thinking about other people, they're serving other people, and they have mercy. They haven't had mercy before. Now they do. How'd that happen? You know, it wasn't a self-help program. It was God the Holy Spirit giving you a supernatural ability. You all have been given that. Now, there's nothing more common in this world than people who are given great ability and then they don't take advantage of it. All right? Well, don't make that be you when it comes to something God the Holy Spirit has given you. It's a unique, supernatural ability given to each believer by God the Holy Spirit. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Then finally, for the common good. For the common good. The third aspect, and this one verse about spiritual gifts, is that God the Holy Spirit has given these gifts for a purpose. For a purpose. And there's that purpose is the common good. The good of the body. The building up of the body. Common good of the congregation. That's a very important part of this. Without that, you miss the results. I mean, you miss the focus, right? If you don't have this common good, then the focus just could be on you, right? I've got this special gift. It's supernatural in nature. But until you sort of aim it at the purpose, then it's not going to go the way it should go. It's not going to be used the way it should be used. The common good of who? Not the United States. Not your natural family, right? The body of Christ. The common good is for the body of Christ. Now you might say, well, what about evangelists? Isn't that for the unbeliever? Well, it's addressed to the unbeliever, but even that is for the benefit of the body of Christ. Common good. Let's go to 1 Peter 4, verse 10. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. We're on the third aspect in this one verse, 1 Corinthians 12:7. That each one, we've looked at that, is given the manifestation of the Spirit. And now the third part for the common good. Look at 1 Peter 4:10. I want you to see what Peter has to say. As each one, oh, there that is again, we saw that, has received a special gift, individual gift. Employ it, right? Employ it, live in it, use it. For what? Serving one another, for the common good, as good stewards of the many-faceted grace of God. So listen, your spiritual gift is not for your private gain or enjoyment. It's for the good of the congregation. And people can actually be operating in their gift without knowing what their gift is. Okay? But it's a supernatural ability nonetheless, and if it's directed at the common good, then you're exercising it, whether you even know about it. Now, God the Holy Spirit would like you eventually to see it and understand it, of course. But the principle is, the key is that it's for the common good. The key is that you're serving other people in the body of Christ. That the body of Christ is better, it's built up. Because you're exercising your spiritual gift, that you're, in a sense, allowing yourself to be that channel through which the Holy Spirit ministers to the body. And indeed, he does. You see when we have a supernatural gift, okay, when I'm up here preaching, okay, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do by studying, okay, it's the Holy Spirit actually ministering to you. And that's a comfort too, isn't it? By the way, the Holy Spirit, many times, he's with me when I'm preparing the message. The mistakes are mine. Don't worry about that. But he's also with me when I'm preaching the message. And there, he's individually, through me, ministering to the congregation. For the good of the congregation. That's true of every single spiritual gift. All right. So again, it's for the good of the body of Christ. It's for the good of the congregation, or the family, if you want to look at it that way, the team. Or not I, but one another. All right. Let's wrap up, in terms of the scriptures anyway, this morning, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. So now we've seen, in this one verse, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, we've seen how it relates to other passage in 1 Corinthians, 1 Peter, and now we're looking at how it plugs into, okay, Ephesians 4, verses 7 to 16. Let's read it now. I'm going to emphasize certain verses and certain statements. It's a long passage. Not all of it's relevant for the message today, but there's no harm in reading it anyway, hearing it again, right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, where it is again. But to each one of us, grace was given. Grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, and here we'll just cruise through this. This could raise issues, but try to put them aside today and focus, right? Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, this is the important thing. He led captive a host of captives, by the way, okay, and gave gifts to men. The host of captives, by the way, the principalities and powers. Those are enemies that the Lord Jesus Christ took captive by his death and resurrection. Okay, then that victory, then he turns around and he gives gifts to men and to women, of course. Verses 9 to 10 in parentheses, we'll treat it as such. Okay, verse 11, and he gave some. Now, the interesting thing here is that these particular gifts that are listed in verse 11 speak of not a gift, but rather a person who has that gift. And the fact of the matter is that, notice here, the one giving it in this case is Jesus Christ. Why? Because the leadership, now remember, Jesus Christ is superintending. He's the head of the body. And certain spiritual gifts, all right, are actually it's the person that's highlighted. Now, I'm not saying the individual, but the person in that position. He gave some as apostles. No apostles today. Okay, No apostles today. Now, some people will be insulted with that because there's a lot of congregations who have apostles or think they do. But I don't. I met a guy the other day who was, he thought he was a prophet. Okay? There's no, in that sense, right? A prophet predicting the future and, no, there's no prophets in that sense. But the underlying meaning of that word, there definitely are. Because the underlying meaning is that you're speaking on behalf of God to the people. Well, gosh, that's true of the evangelist, right? That's true of the pastor teacher, right? We are speaking, hopefully, from the word of God to people, to the congregation. Evangelist to the unbeliever. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. These are gifts. Verse 12, I want you to focus on that today, though. Why? What's the purpose? Why am I given as a pastor teacher? Why is somebody else given to the body as an evangelist? For one purpose. Notice the purpose. For equipping the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, the common good, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man. That mature man is Christ the head and the congregation or the body. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature. Notice this. This is what we're being designed for, to be, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. What a challenge that is. That's something to celebrate so much and look forward to. That we are on our way. We are being built as a body to be gaining in the knowledge of the Son of God and become a mature man. That's not an individual, by the way. That's the body. To the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. The body is designed to be the fullness of Christ in this world. That's Ephesians 1. We see it again here. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about the fullness of Christ, I'm thinking that that's a pretty lofty attainment, right? Isn't it? The fullness of Christ. Now, the fact of the matter is, okay, that we've been set up for that in several ways, right? We've been baptized into Christ. He's the head, we're the body. We've been given spiritual gifts. He's the head, we're the body. And as those develop, we are actually living more and more in the fullness of Christ. Christ is in us. So it's not as if we do this by ourselves, because God does it. But he does use us as channels to get that done. We all attain to the knowledge of the Son of God, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Verse 14 is the negative. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Now, who's responsible to make sure that the body doesn't get to that place? The communicators, the pastors, the teachers, the evangelists. I want you to think about that. A lot of people want to blame the congregation. Oh, I can't believe you're like believing that stuff. But here's the thing. If the communicator, if the pastor brings in other people that go in other directions and doesn't, and there's a fog, like I'm not sure what I'm doing and all of that, and preaching, and it's a mess, I come up, and then one week I'm talking about the Catholic Church in a good way, like there's a lot of so-called Protestant Bible-believing churches now that are taking aspects of Roman Catholicism and putting them into the congregation's life. Of course you're going to be confused if I were to do that. Okay? In any event, every wind of doctrine no longer tossed here and there by the trickery of men, by the craftiness and deceitful scheming. By the way, I'll repeat myself, that's also the pastor teacher's responsibility to address that. It's not a pleasant thing. But there are from time to time, we will see the influence of the trickery of men. And I'll tell you what, you have to have a lot of discernment to recognize it. Okay? And it's my responsibility. If I'm seeing that coming into the congregation, sometimes it's literally. Sometimes there's people who come off the street and they want to convince people in our congregation they can lose their salvation, for example. It's my responsibility to handle that. But instead, speaking the truth in love, with patience and kindness, we ought to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, the common good, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. By the way, I won't want to get into this today, but joints are the places where the body is connected to other parts of the body. Okay, so that love, the exercise of the spiritual gift, that's how we're fitted and held together, according to the proper working. Notice this, though, the proper working of each individual part. You see, that's where each of us as individuals come into the picture, all right? Are actually should be held to account, actually, all right? Again, by the preaching of the Word of God, according to the proper working. By the way, that means that there's improper ways to use your gift of each individual part, each one. When that happens, that causes the growth of the body, of the building up of itself in love. So if it's not working properly, any of the parts, your gift or anybody else's, then that hinders the growth of the body. That's a serious matter. Think about it. The body is supposed to grow into the fullness of Christ. But when we don't have each individual part working properly, I didn't say this, Paul said, it hinders the growth of the body. That's a responsibility. Think about it. Isn't that a responsibility? If we want the body to grow, we all have a proper working that contributes to it. For the building up of itself, and notice, in love. The proper working of each individual part refers both to each member and to each spiritual gift. The proper working of each individual part refers both to each member of the body and to each spiritual gift. Given for the purpose of serving the Lord, edifying and building up the body, not bringing glory to self. So let me say it in a really special way of kind of bringing things together. Spiritual gift, then, is a God-given, supernatural ability to serve the church effectively. Proper working of each individual part. Now, at this point, I've given you a lot of information on spiritual gifts. Right? And it seems most of you paid attention. Most of you have sort of worked through, okay, he's repeating, okay, there's new information. I thank you for that. Nevertheless, you may have a question. You may be wondering, so what? What does this mean for each one of us? And I've tried this morning to talk about that when we've looked at every aspect in 2 Corinthians 12:7. But to help you understand what it means for each one of us and for us together, I'm going to use an illustration as we close this morning. And that illustration is the family. More particularly, we're going to look at a family sitting down for a meal. I'm going to use that as an illustration. Paul uses the human body to make points about spiritual gifts. So today we'll look at the human family to understand spiritual gifts. In particular, a family sitting down for a meal. Now, it's a good time to be talking about this. Why? What? Thanksgiving's coming. Right. In a few weeks, we're going to be hopefully celebrating Thanksgiving. Sometimes it can be difficult for families to actually celebrate together. But for many, many families, of course, that means a dinner, a Thanksgiving dinner, more specifically, a turkey dinner. Now, you may have a different tradition, I understand that. Some ethnicities will have fish or pasta, others will have a pig roast. Okay, but I'm just, to make it simple, I'm just talking about a Thanksgiving turkey dinner. Now, when families get together, why this button isn't working? When families get together to celebrate Thanksgiving dinner, it's customary for each person or family to bring an item to contribute to that meal. And, of course, that results in a lot of variety. Right? Isn't that one of the best parts of Thanksgiving? The meal with all this variety, something for everyone, and everyone brings something. See, that's a picture of our spiritual gifts. Everybody brings something to the table, and everybody benefits from what a person, each person brings. That's not a bad picture of the spiritual gifts at work. Now, of course, you don't want everyone to bring the same item either. Many different, here's the unity and variety now in this illustration. Many different dishes and items have to come together to make one great meal. There's the variety and the unity. The family to celebrate. There we go. Doesn't that look good? Many different items coming together to make one great meal. Think of it. The turkey, the stuffing, the mashed potatoes, several salads, corn on the cob, casseroles, several vegetables, green beans, Brussels sprouts, the wine glasses, the water goblets, the wine bottle opener. No gift is unimportant, right? If you have the wine and you have no opener, you can't get the cork out. Frustration. People sitting around waiting and saying, oh man, I guess we can't have that. Some people that would be good, but that's another story. Other drinks, cider and soft drinks and juices. Not only water, but the water pitcher. Right? If you have water and you don't have the water pitcher, what do you have? A mess on the floor. Silverware, plates. The carving knife. See, we don't think of these things. A lot of these things we take for granted, just like we take a lot of spiritual gifts for granted. The turkey thermometer. Now, what happens if you don't have that? If you're not a really experienced cooker of turkey, and who is? Well, some people are. And you don't have a thermometer, what can happen? Burn it. Are undercooked, right? Neither one. I mean, that'll ruin a dinner in a heartbeat, wouldn't it? Thanksgiving dinner? Of course it would. Each part is important. The gravy, for sure, but also the gravy boat and the gravy ladle. Now, the young people are sitting there, and this is all adult food, so we probably should bring something for them, like, say, I don't know, mac and cheese. You know, if we don't bring something for the kids that they like to eat, they can cause a lot of trouble at a Thanksgiving meal. Well, that's the other thing. That's right. But bread rolls, these, we don't think about it, right? Butter. We have all these great rolls and no butter. Yay, I had that was coming up. Cranberry sauce, another thing we take for granted. But I'm the kind of guy who really likes cranberry sauce. And if that isn't there, I'm like, oh, I'm disappointed. Desserts, pumpkin pie, apple pie, pecan pie, coffee, cream and sugar, salt and pepper, napkins. And by the way, each of these items is important. If you don't think so, try to see what happens when one of them is missing. Just one. You know? What if there's no plates? You know, I don't know about you, but I don't like having everybody use their hands, right, to pick things out and eat them. You got to have plates. Each of these items is important. How about no salt? Now, some people don't like salt, but how about the ones who do? You have a great turkey and no salt, and some people, I don't know what's going on. Or no desserts, or no silverware. Not to mention a burnt turkey, or no gravy. Each individual part is important. Each individual part is important. And when they all come together, the family is happy. When all the parts are working properly for the family, the common good, happiness, joy, love. The mundane, ordinary, less celebrated items are necessary. They're necessary. Think about it. The ordinary, not celebrated. Does anybody ever like celebrate? Wow, that's great when the salt and pepper show up. Well, do you? Have you ever been at a Thanksgiving and you're saying, oh, wow, that's the centerpiece of the meal, the salt and the pepper, until it's not there, right? Then it becomes an issue. So, if one part of the meal isn't done properly, the proper working of each individual part, the whole meal could be ruined. Hello? I know it's at the end, but burnt turkey, what great case in point, right? Now, let's just say that the turkey is overcooked, the cream is sour, the whole meal could be ruined, the whole family's bummed out. Now, some definitely do play a larger role than others. That's true in the spiritual gifts, right? Or at least a more visible role, a more celebrated role. The turkey, of course, and you know, the gravy and so forth. That disturbs people. How come I can't be the one who brings the turkey? And why do I only bring dessert? You know, Aunt Kitty, she's going to say something sarcastic. That's all you brought? Right? Am I exaggerating? Well, maybe you don't have an Aunt Kitty, but I did. All right. So, but here's again the point. What if the whole meal were just turkey? What if you came in for Thanksgiving and all you see is five turkeys and nothing else? No wine, no water, no rolls, no butter, no stuffing, nothing. Just five turkeys. Now, that's unanimity, but it's not a unity of all the good stuff. Or, how about this one? Everybody brings wine and nobody brings food. Now, some of you might say, oh, that sounds great, right? However, about an hour later, it won't be so great. You know, all the little people that you hope were not going to fight with each other have a couple of glasses of wine and they're like going at it. Each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Each one. No member of the congregation has an unimportant gift either. No member of the congregation. Each gift belongs to the family. When each person brings their gift and enjoys each gift, it's a celebration. But every individual gift is an act of love. It's an act of love. Whether you bring the salt or the butter or the turkey or the dessert, it's an act of love to bring the family together under an enjoyable meal. And since this is true about Thanksgiving dinner, at grandma's, say, how much more so with the manifestation of the Spirit for our spiritual family and God's household? Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the gifts. We thank you that they're all manifestations of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that each one is given individually and no gift is unimportant. We thank you that you've designed them as a way of unity, bringing about by serving one another for the common good. Father, as we leave today, I ask you that you would have the Holy Spirit guide and direct us in our thinking and actions towards exercising our spiritual gift for the benefit of one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. All right, just a couple of reminders as we close today. Thursday evening, we have Bible study, of course. Now, here's the thing about that. Now that we know that Mark Pomeroy may show up with teaching, hopefully that gets more interesting now, right? I mean, after all, that Farley guy, I mean, he's been teaching on the book of Isaiah since, you know, Noah's Ark was launched, I think. All right. So, also, if you have any questions about anything having to do with the teachings, I'll qualify that, you can email me. Okay? You can email me. I'm giving you permission. Not necessarily call me, but you can email me. pastor@lbible.org. pastor@lbible.org. Please remember, too, I say this every week, and I get very few. We pray on Thursday evening. When you give us something to pray for, we pray for it. Now, I'm the one who usually goes and looks at that place where people who've done it online, right? I mean, if you're coming and you know you're coming, then that's then fine. You can pray with us. But if you're not, or if you're not able to, or even if you want me and others to pray for it during the week, not just on Thursday, you know, you can submit a very simple prayer request for us. And I look at that list. I looked at it the other day in preparation for Thursday evening Bible study. There was not one new prayer. So I was thinking to myself, man, these people must have great lives. Everything must be going perfect in their lives. They don't need us to pray about anything. Well, if that's not true about what's going on in your life, I think you should ask us to pray for you on that behalf. Heavenly Father, thank you again for gathering us together this morning. Thank you for the challenge you've issued through your word. Thank you for the family. Thank you for one another. Thank you for all the gifts and blessings you've given us. And the greatest one, your son, Jesus Christ. We pray this in Christ's name by the power of the Spirit. Amen. And with that, you are dismissed. Probably not too early for the shop for Christmas gifts for others. And also for thinking about what you're going to bring for the table this year.